B-Pod Studios.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Choi to third. Up with it, Ref Snyder throwing to the plate. It's up the line, and the run is in. 5-1. Rondo with his second hit tonight. And the Red Sox in danger of allowing this one to get away early.
The talent's there. We know that. He's still learning how to pitch. He's still learning how to use his fastball in certain spots. I think the changeup hasn't been the pitch, you know, like, that was a good pitch. He has a good changeup, and in the two outings, he's been erratic with it, but you see the potential, you know, he's going to keep.
Good morning. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand. Christian Arcand in for Hardy today.
Good morning.
Hey. Morning, Zoe.
Whew, what a ride in again. Jesus.
I was told that you would like to make some sort of opening statement on the program.
You take that Fred Tutcher thing, that thing, and just put it up half a notch. Another half-day credit for the morning show there.
Thank you.
What does that mean, half-day credit?
Well, you
credit?
Can just hear the remote.
Like, hello?
They weren't here again?
Well, you don't make your drive anymore.
Who was here?
Wallach's here today.
Fred was at from home.
Oh, okay.
Fred was home, and Rich was here or home?
Rich was not here.
Rich is here.
Oh, he was
here.
I didn't see Rich.
No, I thought he was here.
I just saw him in there. Here.
Oh, hi, Rich. Well, then I didn't say half mark Rich. I said half mark Fred. Because we're just keeping track here.
Why do home remote days matter? Why don't?
Oh, because it's like you want to be here, but you really don't want to be here. But you don't put the effort in to come here. You know, it's like.
But he still did the show.
Right.
He wasn't off.
I don't even think he's in the state.
He's.
Oh, that's nice.
Elsewhere, right?
All right.
Would you do that?
I might now. I mean,
if the powers that be let you do that, you would do that.
We're gonna work on that.
And would you count that as
a work day?
Well, all right then. So what's your complaint?
I'm just making sure. Okay. At this. Okay. Good. That's all.
Should I go move him back?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No,
move
no,
him back. I don't understand. Like the rivalry that you two have.
Well, I didn't.
Days off.
Yeah. He started. That's all. I'm just keeping track, buddy.
I'm actually not convinced that he did start it in defense of Fred.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He may have directly started it in that he directly took the issue head on.
Yeah.
Whereas you have just sort of passively, aggressively made comments over the years.
I think you nailed it.
To the point
so
where Fred.
The passive aggressive
yeah,
king.
Yeah, exactly.
I told him.
Where
yeah, for, I do what I do.
For years,
I do
there
I
was
do.
Like this passive aggressive thing about no. Fred not being here on a. You used to have this thing about Mondays. You used to always accuse him of taking
Monday
long
after
weekends,
vacay, right?
The
right?
cat.
I mean, right. You used to talk about, oh, did his cat die again? I mean,
well,
you've made.
Tyler's laughing
you've made all these comments over the years that I think. More recently, Fred said, "To hell with it! I'm going to address this directly," yep. And he took it and he discussed it, as we know, good. Which led to that massive piece of
thing.
Art
I mean,
here
a,
in the studio known as the Zolak Cliffhanger.
It might be heavier than the actual table they have to take to Waltham with them.
It's very heavy.
It's so heavy.
It's
pretty impressive.
Solid piece.
Hey, so you want to see this kid again in
no.
Yankee Stadium?
No,
I kind of do.
No, I think it's time.
I kind of do.
I think it's time to send Brian Baio back.
Oh, thank God.
That was enough.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why I want to send him back. For all the things Alex Cora just said about that, he doesn't belong here.
He does not. No.
He's and he's
it's
listen,
not fair
there's
to him.
Plenty of potential there, but does bringing up, and I think the same thing applies to prospects that are hitters, bring them up and having them fail miserably for long periods of time. Dustin Pedroia being the exception, right? They stuck with him and it turned out for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to sort of make those benchmarks and progress.
Yeah.
And I think throwing this kid into the fire doesn't do him any good.
No, and it's sort of your prized possession, right? It's your best prospect. I think I saw Milliken tweeting last night. They ranked him 24th?
Yeah, yesterday, which is kind of crazy. He ranked as the 24th best prospect in the entire sport.
The entire sport. So, like, you don't want to damage this kid. And when you watch it, it doesn't look like he belongs. That's all. He doesn't have a lot of pitches. I think there's obviously a confidence issue. I'd be crapping. I don't know that. Well, I'd be crapping my pants too.
I don't know that there's a confidence issue, but like, I don't want to damage whatever confidence he does have.
But it's like when he goes, when he leaves the mound, he goes to the dugout. You know, he's met by three different guys talking to him, like, and it's like it's overkill.
No, you, I disagree.
I know you're trying to
I'm
talk
glad they did
things.
That.
Okay.
I'm glad. I hope that Alex Cora told him he did a great job.
But when you're ready.
And they're so proud of him.
When you're ready.
Before they send him back.
You're ready and you're pitching against, you know, the cream of the East here. It can wear on you. He wasn't ready.
I think he's not ready. I think the other thing is, it's like the Red Sox have shown they want about 100 innings at each level before they promote you. Bayo, he was at like 51 innings in AAA. There's a reason you saw Josh Winkowski, Cutter Crawford, Connor Siebold before you saw Brian Bayo. Unfortunately, you lose 4 out of 5 of your starting rotation. You have to push a guy. I think ultimately that's why Cora was so positive about that third and fourth inning, that he was able to kind of keep his composure and settle down a little bit. I think this will go farther for his development, these two starts up here. Hey, go back down to AAA. There's a little bit of an inning situation we know where, you know, he's just about at the mark he was last year, so they're going to have to kind of lean back a little bit. But now you know what you need to work on, because you were dominating AAA without a problem.
Right.
This is the stuff you got to get better at.
Then you go back down there, too, and you're sort of the big guy again.
That's it.
And you know what I mean? Like, you get a little more swagger, a little confidence. Yeah, I was in the big league. Hey, what was it like up there? You know, yeah, now you could tell and share your experiences there as you continue to get ready. And I'm sure he will be fine at some point.
I think
he's not ready right now.
No, I think the biggest takeaway you get from all this is the idea of him being a bullpen option in August and September is probably not likely at this point. You know, down the stretch, not impossible. Let's see what happens when he goes down there. But depending on him, seems like a stretch at this point.
Zoe tweeting last night at 7:32 p.m. Well, seen enough of this kid after 2 games. Blows.
Just to get the reaction.
Yeah. Isn't that a little harsh?
Yeah, and Alan Single goes, I could sense your little hint of sarcasm. Well, you know me, Alan. I'll see you in 16 days.
Yeah. He doesn't blow.
Of course not.
He doesn't blow.
No.
But he's not ready.
No.
And so there is some value in the struggle if it's managed. And I think right now it's managed. 2 games. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You're not ready for this.
No. No. The whole environment sucked last night, too. You go from 4 games against the Yankees and, you know, that environment to going down in that stupid bubble and playing down there just dimly lit. It sucks. I hate watching games down there. I really do. Just doesn't feel like, you know, the crowd's into it. And it's dimly lit. I don't like it. I hate the Trop. Hate watching games in the Trop. Even a playoff game sucked. They do. Crowd really doesn't get that amped up. And there's more people. But it's dark. You're playing on that stupid turf. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I'm sure they do, too.
Yeah, it's a crappy place. The thing that was really annoying about last night's game is that it went on forever. It's one of those nights.
And it didn't start great either.
It's hard to hang on forever like that after long Yankee games.
Red Sox go down early, and it's a long night. Ugh. It's a long night. Arcan comes in here talking about Better Call Saul. I had to flip out on him and say, what are you talking about?
Shut up.
I didn't have time for that last night. I was tied up with the Red Sox.
This is a baseball show.
Now we know what Arcan was doing last night, not watching the Red Sox.
Would you have your baby watching with
Yes,
you?
I did.
I'm like, shut up. I didn't watch. Shut your mouth. The Red Sox were on.
Is that a show? Like,
and I faded.
Yeah.
I faded in the 8th inning when the Rays tacked on more runs.
Tonight we're watching Better Call Sale.
Hey.
Oh, Mr. God. Funny Man off vacation.
But the Red Sox keep losing in their division, which I'm starting to get concerned about because for all the good vibes coming out of splitting with the Yankees, they go right back to losing in the division. Right back to it. I get it. They didn't have the best starting pitcher on the mound last night, but they got themselves right back in the game, and then they blew it again late.
Well, you got the stopper going tonight. Remember in all those moments when
we're
it was Pedro and Schilling,
him.
your front leading ace, your big money guy, they would always stop the bleeding, those guys. Even Beckett, even Lester, guys that stopped the bleeding. Well, you're bleeding a little bit. Yeah, you won 2 against the Yankees the last 2, but 2 and 3 out of your last 5 against the American League East. Something's got to change.
Big spot for Chris Sale. The current update on everybody on the staff. Sale goes tonight. Eovaldi could go Friday. You've still got Rich Hill on the IL. You've got Michael Wacha on the IL. You've still got Crawford, Winkowski, and Pivetta in the rotation, but their last time's out. Winkowski and Pivetta, not great. Sale goes tonight.
Whitlock has a double-A outing tonight, and then he should be back Friday along with Eovaldi, same day.
All right, so there's some reinforcements coming, starting with Sale tonight. Which version of Chris Sale will we get tonight, and what kind of pressure should be on Chris Sale going into this game tonight to perform, to show up, to help his team in a meaningful way? We'll get to that coming up next. Your calls on the Red Sox. We, of course, will get to the press conference that took place for the Bruins yesterday. The hiring, official announcement, and introduction of their new head coach. We'll get to that later this hour, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By the way, Hattie, I like
he's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It was all just frustration. I mean, I walked five guys. I've gone months without walking five guys. That just tells me it right there that nothing's wrong. It's just I got some things I have to clean up. And that's, like I said, just my direction was a little bit more towards the first base dugout today. But like I said, it's nothing that can't be cleaned up in this next week. Bullpens, a couple bullpen sessions, and just feeling my direction better. Like, this is all for me to get back up to the big leagues and start doing my job and pulling my weight and trying to win a championship. So this is all great, but that's the big picture, and I need to get back there.
I'd love to see him pitch like the song. Like, the song is so badass. And Louth was like one of the first guys to play this song after they signed Sale, and we were all ecstatic. Like, oh my God, we're getting Chris Sale. Guys won 11 games in 4 years. Talking about having trouble locating the other night in Worcester and cleaning this up, that up. And the song's a little bit more badass than the pitcher as of right now. So I'd like to see the pitcher trump the song.
So is correct. Chris Sale made 25 starts in 2019. He went 6-11 in 2019. He missed all of 2020. Last year, he returned to make 9 starts and went 5-1 in those 9 starts. Had a
3.16 ERA.
I was going to say an ERA around 3.
With 2 pitches.
Hookin said it a million times. It's burned into my brain.
3.16. Yep. It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin, baby.
And so Chris Sale is back tonight. As Zoe said, he's got 11 combined wins over 4 seasons, including this one. I saw a tweet from Milliken today that I would like to ask a question about, if you don't mind, Tyler Milliken.
Talk to me.
On Twitter, at Tyler Milliken _. Was regular Tyler Milliken taken?
Unfortunately, it was.
Who's that guy? Who's that guy?
What's that guy look like?
It's just like one of those non-existent Twitter accounts, like someone made 12 years ago.
It's definitely not his burner account. Definitely not.
At 8:39 a.m. this morning, Milliken tweeted, Chris Sale's revenge tour starts today.
It does.
To which I would say, revenge against what or whom? What are we talking about?
The TV.
I think it's a lot of people who've just said, like, it's over for him. A lot of people don't think Chris Sale's going to ever be an upper echelon arm. I'm not saying he's going to be an ace again, but the people who think Chris Sale's washed and this is basically, you know, we'll never see him be an effective pitcher again.
That's not revenge. I would call this a collection tour. Like, you know, when you're in debt and, you know, you're not getting what the value is to what you pay, you need to start pitching well so that, you know, they can feel pretty good about what they're paying you.
I just feel like when it comes to Chris Sale and people want to talk about the injuries or whatever it was clear in 2019 he needed Tommy John surgery. They had him get a PRP injection hoping it wouldn't happen. You get to 2020 spring training. You waste a whole nother offseason. You finally admit, hey, he needs Tommy John surgery. A whole year goes by. Obviously, he comes back last year. 9 starts, 3.16 ERA. Important down the stretch. Then you had a freak injury. You had a freak injury over the offseason. But acting like he's had, you know, 5 or 6 injuries pile up here, Jacob DeGrom style almost, I think is unfair. Because that just hasn't been the case. Can you question whether he'll be effective? 100%. But let's not act like he's had 10 injuries here. It's really, a majority of it has been because he had Tommy John surgery.
So when he gets in trouble, Milliken, let's put it this way. What will he be getting in trouble for?
What do you mean?
Like when he's on the mound and he's in the game tonight and he finds himself, in deep counts, why is that going to be?
I think it'll probably be mechanics and getting a lot of the command stuff. And we saw that with the last AAA start. He didn't walk anyone in his other rehab outings. And we're talking about a guy in Chris Sale, 2.5 walks per nine for his whole career. So, yes, is it going to take a little bit probably for everything to get in sync? But I think having three pitches back, the fastball, the slider, Cora can't stop talking about the changeup, and there's a reason for it. He had nothing last year. He couldn't even throw it. It was a BP fastball. Now he's got a couple strikeouts on it in his last start in Worcester.
You know what happens with guys like Chris Sale who can throw heat and his arm feels good again because he went and had Tommy John. When they get in trouble, they just try and throw the gas.
We saw that last year, did we not?
And that's what we saw with him last season. It's exactly what we saw last year. When you get in trouble, what do? You go to what you think you can blow past guys. And so I'm curious to see if that doesn't count for Friday. Don't even give that a look. Blow past guys? That's not a promo. Please. Throw up.
I didn't say
you did.
You're the only one that even caught that.
Right. I caught it because Zoe looked at me.
He's smiling over there. Look at him.
Please, this is a baseball show, Zoe. Okay,
I know. Blow past him.
It's not a Better Call Saul show. It's not a gross show.
Right. It's not Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh my God.
Baseball. I just hope that's not what the case is with him because that's where you can all of a sudden get yourself in even more trouble. So, something to watch. How does Chris Sale respond when he does get in trouble, when he gets into deep counts, when he all of a sudden can't get a guy out? All of that. What are you pointing to?
No, nothing. I saw a worm pulled out of some guy's back last night on TikTok.
Of course you
Oh, my God. Like this embedded worm. They thought it was a blackhead.
Did the worm get into his back?
It's a white, one of these white little worms, and it eats your flesh, and it pulls it out, and there's like a hole.
Where do you contract such a worm?
Yeah, I don't know. TikTok. It was real.
Huh.
Well, they put it out, put it on a napkin, things moving. I'm like, oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
And it was in like a zit?
It was in like a zit, yeah. And you thought it was... We're not going to talk about it.
Gross.
Then everybody gets sick. Gross down on it. I'll post a picture of it later.
Please do.
I'll just send it to you all later.
Great. I'll text the video to you guys later.
That's terrific. Thank you so much for that. Chris in the hammock is on the line. Hi, Chris.
How's the Carolinas, buddy?
It's great, my man. A little hot this time of year, but I'm dealing with it.
Tough to deal with
it. Yeah, a little bit. But hope you guys had some great time off. I just want to make comment about the trade deadline real quick. It's been abundantly clear since, I don't know, opening day that this team has needed a first baseman. Why is it the unwritten rule that we have to wait until the very last day before we can pull off trades to go get somebody? It just frustrates me, and I'll just hang up and take your thoughts off the line.
Well, it's also – I don't think it's exclusive to the Red Sox. I think most teams operate like that. I don't know why.
But Schwarber, like a week before the deadline.
It's what they do, and yeah.
Is it because all the nerds, like, they need all the variables that they can get so they can put it in there?
No, one of the biggest nerds in
Jerry DePoto traded for Carlos Santana, at the very end of June. And he's been a good piece for them.
That's existed long before nerds were even a thing in the sport. I don't know why that is. I think it happens in a lot of sports. They get close to the deadline. They get within a week or two of the deadline, and that's when they start pulling off deals.
Especially now with more playoff teams. You think you're in it longer.
That's true. There are more teams that are waiting and hesitating.
And Bloom also talked about it. The MLB draft now goes on during All-Star, like those 4 days off.
Yeah.
That's another part of that whole package.
Well, that's, part of the equation. What were we going to say?
No, just like even with the new format, too, and you talk about the teams that are bunched there without the play-in game, like it's different format now you got to face this year. So you're right. You could have more teams in this thing as that week approaches. So it should be pretty damn active.
I think I saw that there's like 20 teams within a couple games of a playoff spot, at least.
I think they were talking about that on that cast the other night too, the KCast. Yeah.
Speaking of the All-Star game, there are a number of All-Stars that are former Red Sox, including Andrew Benintendi.
Saw that Shaughnessy's tweet.
All-Star Kyle Schwarber.
Mm-hmm.
All-Star. Yeah. Let's stop on Schwarber for a moment. Is John Tomasi, who we frequently go to on Red Sox items. For him, he says, of the three All-Stars the Red Sox wouldn't pay, only one of them bothers me. It's not Andrew Benintendi, who wouldn't even be an American League selection if he played anywhere other than Kansas City. And it's not Mookie Betts, whose unquestioned greatness nonetheless did not make him the best long-term fit in Boston. Okay, I'm angry about all these guys. So I disagree with
you. Actually angry about Benintendi?
I don't know
what you got. Okay.
I would rather he still be here.
Okay.
You wouldn't have had Hunter Renfrow last year, who was a better player than him.
Yeah, well,
and you got the return for Hunter Renfrow.
We're not doing that argument again.
No, it's true.
We've had the argument like 14 times.
I'm kind of hearing that argument.
I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it anymore.
You would have, Frankie.
I am fully aware. I am fully aware.
Backyard baseball
all-star. Pitcher of the week last week in the FCL.
Yeah, great. Awesome. I'm fully aware that they would not have Franchi Cordero and they would not have had Hunter Renfrow last year.
I want Benny Bicep.
Josh Winkowski.
Fully aware of that. And Josh Winkowski, who's an all-star.
Another depth arm.
Yeah, another bullpen arm. Who's now pitching because they need it desperately. He writes, it's Kyle Schwarber. He says, when Bloom acquired Schwarber from the Nationals last year at the trade deadline, the move wasn't greeted with acclaim inside or outside the clubhouse. Is that true? I thought we sort of loved that move the day it happened.
No, that
was hurt.
Killed.
People, he was hurt.
How many people, Matt McCarthy, Tony Mazz, destroyed the Red Sox for trading for Kyle Schwarber, a guy who was injured?
Oh, they were the Rizzo guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all Rizzo guys.
Okay,
we're all Rizzo guys.
It was like split then.
I was ecstatic that they made an impact move.
It wasn't split. It was heavily
Anthony Rizzo.
Maybe
that's what I'm remembering. I'm remembering someone being very excited around here about that. It was T-Bone. T-Bone was the guy. He was the guy. T-Bone, very excited about Kyle Schwarber.
Spare me.
Anyway, he says...
More excited than Milk.
That's the guy that they should have paid and brought back. I totally agree. Mm. We agreed at the time.
Yeah.
We said this in the offseason that they should find a way to keep him.
That guy got it. Even when he had his blunders at first base, he played to the crowd, took his hat off, but the guy could rake. He had some big hits. It seemed like he fit in Boston.
Well, here's why I would say it. Would he be any worse at first base than any of the guys that they've put there this year?
No, and I think he would probably learn to get better because he's a pro.
Because he's a pro.
Yeah, because
he's a legitimate Major League Baseball player.
I like it here. I want to play here, and I'm getting paid well. And you know what? I want to be a good player. Yeah, that's what pros do.
Or you could have found a way to trade J.D. Martinez. Yeah. You could have done that, too. He's an all-star. J.D. Martinez, just the other night, hits the home run. It was the longest, driest stretch of his career not hitting a home run.
Still in the single digits.
Is that right? Is it 100 or so plate appearances? What was the number?
Yeah, I'm not going to kill JD. Listen, he has a 141 OPS plus. It's an 880 OPS this year. The power needs to be better, 100%. But he's hitting 313 on the year.
Would you give up JD Martinez for Kyle Schwarber on this team?
That was my whole take throughout
the
year.
Nobody would say no to that.
I think the question you need to raise to Chaim Bloom is when you held on to Bobby Delbecq, who we also all said you should have traded during the offseason, you could have done what Chaim Bloom always asked you to do in terms of building for the future and the immediate. You trade Bobby Delbecq, you get some good prospect returns back because, you know, his stock was never higher than it was going to be then. You bring in Kyle Schwarber, he could have held down first base, at least until Cassis is ready. Then you could have moved him into the DH spot moving forward. You could have had an option in the outfield of moving Verdugo back to right field. He fit every single box you could have asked for. And you already went over the luxury tax. So like we said yesterday, why couldn't you go over more?
So this was a long way of saying, Milliken, we were right. Together. As a united front, we were right, Milliken. We were absolutely right. See that? Building bridges with the nerds, T-Bone.
He's not going to let you have that one.
Why? Why not?
No, I thought I agree. I think we were in lockstep. We talked Kyle Schwarber all the way through the offseason.
Milliken and I were in lockstep on the matter, and we were correct.
Who didn't want him?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know who those people were.
I mean, who didn't want him after he was already here? Who
I wanted Rizzo. I wanted Rizzo instead of him, but once he was here, the way he played.
Everyone wanted a Rizzo.
Oh, we all wanted Schwarber back.
Everybody wanted him back. And then
the
work stoppage happened, and I think things got sort of like, you know, killed in the offseason in terms of discussion or giving a damn.
Yeah, you kind of forgot about it.
It sort of killed the sport for a time, and it kind of got forgotten about.
Stupid.
Remember he was out to dinner with, like, the Nats, like, GM, and you're like,
So... We were right, and Chaim Bloom was wrong. That's what it basically came down to. Chaim Bloom got this one wrong in the offseason because they could use a first baseman now. They could use another impact bat. They need pitching. They need everything.
Who's your DH of the future?
They need a little bit. They don't have one.
Should be Bogarts.
A little bit of everything at this deadline, don't they?
Should be Bogarts.
All right, 617-779-0985. Red Sox thoughts. We continue with those if you have them, but we're going to move on to the Bruins, introducing Jim Montgomery as their head coach yesterday. What a doozy of a press conference that was. And we've heard from ownership. Ownership has spoken. We have heard from them, an owner in front of the microphone in a press setting, taking questions, all that good stuff. It happened yesterday. We'll talk about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Beaker. Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thank you, Brandon. I want to thank our owners, Mr. Jacobs, Charlie Jacobs, team president Cam Neely, general manager Don Sweeney, for affording me and my family this tremendous opportunity to be the head coach of the Boston Bruins. I am very grateful to lead the spoke B behind the bench, and really looking forward to working with this group that won 51 games last year. I know my family, we're excited. We already have found a home. We went to a Sox-Yanks game. And the Sox came back and won in the 10th inning. So things have started out well here in Boston, and we're excited with this rabid fan base in this great city of Boston to be part of the Bruins family.
Jim Montgomery, new Bruins head coach yesterday.
Yes, sir.
By the way, rest in peace to our phone lines at about 1 o'clock today, I'm told.
Okay.
By the listeners, not by anyone who is in management here at the Sports
Hub. What's happening there?
Our listeners have notified us that there is tickets being given away.
Is that a big ticket?
I don't think it's any specific thing. I think they give away different tickets for different shows every day.
Okay.
But they're doing it every day at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So it's going to happen on our show. It's going to happen on... It's going
to
melt.
I'm going to do something to them.
The French phones are going to have a meltdown.
I'm going to do something to them. I'm going to untie their horses that are all parked out front.
The French phone system is going to go poof.
Yeah! Get out, boy!
By the way, I want to make a quick announcement to let you know, starting tomorrow on this show, we will be giving away tickets tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Three times this week, we'll be giving away tickets to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. They're coming to the Garden in March, and we're going to be giving away three pairs of tickets this week on the show.
I'll pass.
That's right.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it with you. Ain't that?
We
ain't
did
that
go.
Great.
We did go to. Yeah. We did go to. I've seen him. I've actually seen him multiple times.
I'm sure you have.
Twice. I've seen him twice, both at Gillette.
Probably back-to-back nights.
They weren't. No, they were like probably 5 years apart, if not more. Yeah. Zoe won. Yeah. All right, story time. Before this we get to great. Jim Montgomery, story time.
This is photographic memory.
We had the first week of the Sports Hub. Now
98.5 the Sports Hub!
13 years ago. We're coming up on our 13th birthday. We're going to be a teenager soon. We're going through puberty. And so...
I'll never forget this meeting.
13 years ago, we had this meeting where all the day one employees of 98.5
the Sports Hub.
This will all be covered in the special.
We already did. We did the special 3 years ago.
We're doing the 13th now.
We're going to re-rack it. Why don't we just re-rack it?
In 10 years.
We didn't get to have story time that day.
They put us all in a conference room together.
They made us like talk about specific things. Do an hour on the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. Okay. Yeah. Story time. We all sit in the conference room. We have this meeting. Sort of an introductory meeting.
I'll never forget seeing Adolfo for the first time.
What we're all about, what we're trying to do, what we're striving for, what our short-term plans were, what the long-term plans were. All this stuff was being covered.
We just want to make some noise.
It was like the first team meeting of training camp. Like, everybody get in
the
room.
Rules.
Let's all talk. Let's have a discussion.
Yeah.
And at the end of the meeting, they gave a quiz. Who retained the most information?
Pop quiz at the end of the meeting.
Who do you think aced the pop quiz?
100%. No way.
Come on. 100%.
Scott Zolak.
Wow. Awesome.
I think the one boss that was given one of the talks talked about his own dog and gave the name of the dog that I remembered. That was one of the questions. Yeah.
Pop, that was one of the questions?
Pop quiz pop at quiz. The end of the meeting. Zoe aces the quiz, and his prize, I believe, was Bruce Springsteen tickets, which you said, really?
Gave them to my neighbor.
He was pissed. He wanted a better prize.
What else you got?
He's like, you got anything else? And they're looking at him like, well, this is a pretty good prize. These are, you know, good Springsteen tickets. These are big deal.
Yeah, they're like down front. And I'm like,
good seats, the whole deal. So I was like, nah, I don't want those. And he didn't go.
This coupon for a hell of a good dip.
Oh, I would take that.
He would have taken the coupon. He would have taken a free tub of hell of a good dip over the Springsteen tickets.
I would have. And I would have put it to better use. Thank you.
But for all of you who are Springsteen fans, and that is many of you, and I'm sure Pete Abe and everyone in the BBWAA will be calling, right?
No, but this is where it crosses. But this is where it crosses. There's two different types of like Springsteen fans, and you're talking about the hardcore. You're bringing up like I got a little friend here in the building.
Yeah, old white baseball writers. They love Springsteen.
He actually went to to Ireland to see him play. Like they'll go to different states.
Gosher, another one of those guys.
All of them. Those are the hardcores. Like there's Springsteen fans that are like play the hits. Like I like Springsteen hits.
You want the hits?
I don't. Yeah, I like.
All right. Well, we're giving away tickets three times this week.
Hungry Heart. I'm like Hungry Heart's my favorite song. And if you're a real Springsteen fan, supposedly that's the worst song.
Yeah, they hate that song.
I don't know why. It puts you in a good mood. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a time ride and I never came back.
What are your thoughts on Born in the USA, Zo?
Like, love that. me too.
Why is that, Zo?
I played that 4th of July party the other day.
Oh, God. Oh,
hell yeah. Played that with Lee Greenwood.
Another person who misunderstands the song.
I put that one with the Lee Greenwoods. God bless the USA.
I don't know that I would put those two together.
Yeah, not the same kind
I don't
of song.
Think I would.
Not at all.
I'm not sure that those
Born
represent
the
same thing.
USA isn't a great song about the USA.
I don't listen to the
it
words.
It sort of paints the USA in a bad light.
Really?
Yeah, listen closely next time.
Fortunate Son's another one. Everyone thinks that's some patriotic song. It is not. It is not at all.
I'll have to scratch that one off next year's playlist.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's good. You know, one balances out the other.
Sure. I like Martina McBride, Let Freedom Ring. That's a fun one to play on the 4th.
Never, I don't know that I've ever heard that one.
Yeah, you had.
Martina McBride? She's playing country, right?
Yes. You've heard this. You had to hear this. Play Ray Charles. All that. Play all the classics.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Don't know Martina McBride.
I don't think I do. Yeah. I don't think I know that one.
Yes, you do.
All right, we just wasted away that talking about Springsteen and the start of the Sports Hub. And we're giving away tickets for Springsteen three times this week, starting tomorrow at 11:50, correct? T-Bone? Yes, 11:50.
He's coming back again?
Next March, for a few months. Yeah. But the tickets, you know how tickets are. They go on sale early now. Yeah. All right, more on Jim Montgomery becoming the head coach of the Bruins.
More than this segment?
More than just that more little than that clip we played at the start of the segment. We'll do it next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jim Kelvin DuPont, Boston Globe. I'm going to presume, I'll start by presuming you've done a lot of, if you will, homework, watching video of the last year of this team.
Fair amount.
Okay. So based on that, I'm just wondering, what do you think you can wring out of this team that the previous guy couldn't wring out of them, and what's the process of doing that?
It's a good question. I think, you know, this is a 51 win team last year. So I think the staff did a really good job last year. And moving forward, I think there's areas that I'm hoping, with the new different style, every coach has a different way of coaching, that it's going to lead to a little more offense.
She seemed all right.
Arcan, have you ever heard this one?
Never. He wasn't drinking
again. I have. Daddy left the
roof on her cheek. Never heard this one.
Come on.
Back also, to what Jim Monk.
This is also not about the 4th of July.
They play it at fireworks.
Because it's called Independence Day.
Yeah, dumbass.
All right, Jim Montgomery there was asked what he could do better than the previous coaching staff. I found it interesting that he said as part of that, well, this was a 51-win team last year. I think the coaching staff that was here did a really good job.
I'm glad he said it.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad he said it because that's his floor. Because I said this all along. What are you telling the new guy that gets hired? What are the realistic goals and the expectations? To get better, right? We made a move because... Yeah, we got into the playoffs, but we got eliminated. The team won 51 games. We want better. Well, it ain't to hire a guy to win 42 and not make the playoffs. He understands his floor, which is good. I think he's happy as a clam to be here. I listened to the whole damn thing. He went to the Red Sox game, stayed till the end. They got a couple hot dogs and went 10 innings. They beat the Yankees. He and his family already found a house. He had three different interviews, 2 hours on the phone, another 4-hour one, 2 hours in person. Then he had a great steak dinner after it.
You think he bought Cassidy's house?
I don't know. I think he said, where do we go next? I'm in. Let's go, baby. Give me some free stuff. He got a free steak dinner. What? Someone took him to the, he didn't pay for the
Did anyone game. Give him Springsteen tickets?
He's
while he
probably,
was at
he's probably like,
no,
going.
No.
All right. So
he's probably telling him next March, hey, make sure we're not playing. I got to be playing at home because we had Springsteen at the Garden.
Someone should have asked him why he got fired in Dallas. I'd like to hear that story.
Yeah.
If he wants to share that while he's sharing all these other stories of his. Jim Montgomery, you now take over a team, 51 wins, 107 points. So you got to be top five in your conference in points. You've got to win 51-plus games. What are you going to do better? He says, offensively, we can be better. Okay.
That's good. So then that's probably been brought to the attention, right?
Great.
We're not scoring enough goals here.
How awkward is that, though, that the new head coach is saying,
oh, yeah.
Oh, the guy I'm replacing was pretty good.
Yeah,
you're right. It's an honest answer. It's the truth. It's not a great position for Jim Montgomery to be in, to be deemed a success.
No. And plus it looks
like a new hire.
And it looks like an older version of corporate Louth, which sort of excites me too.
In fact, there was a back and forth between Chris Gasper.
Oh, Gasper's good.
Don't you love it when Gasper wants to really dig in?
He ain't going there just to write an article. He's not going there to write an article, just
well,
to write.
The thing I like about Chris is that he's not a Bruins beat guy.
Right.
He doesn't give an F.
Yeah.
He goes right in there like, yeah, I'm going to ask the questions that need to be asked.
Yeah, there's a story here. I need to find out what it is.
And he went back and forth with ownership in this press conference yesterday about the firing of Cassidy. Here it is.
How did you guys come to the conclusion that you needed to make a change behind the bench with the coach and that you didn't need to make a change when it came to the head of hockey operations, given that in 6 of the last 7 years, you've been out before the second round?
I love this question so much. We need to pause because he's asking in front of Don Sweeney, why do you have a new coach, but you didn't fire that guy right there? I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Phil Will indicating, yes, the record has been good. You know, the guy that runs it, but you know, ultimately you didn't win.
Why is he here and why is he still here?
Oh, this is good.
That's the question.
Good job, Casper.
Go on.
Let me answer that first.
I should say by the second round to be accurate.
correction. By the second round. Thank
it's
you.
It's like that scene in Superbad when he's like, hey, who's that guy?
Proceed.
Jimmy's brother.
I'll let the chairman speak, but if I'll go first on that one. I want to say we've been to, when I say we, I think the Boston Bruins have been to Stanley Cup Finals 3 times in the past 11 years under Cam Neely's tenure. And I want to say that we have a somewhere around a 600-plus winning percentage under our general manager's tenure. The head coach is, frankly, the responsibility of the general manager, in our opinion, and he has to be accountable for that. And likewise, the president is accountable to the general manager. So if they come to us and say, hey, listen, we think this is might be in the best interest, we're, of course, going to follow their lead. They're empowered to make those decisions, and it's not our job to interfere with them, but rather to empower them to make those type of decisions and support them. I'm not sure if I got all of your answered all of your question, Chris, but I think that's the general gist, is that we went and followed management's direction. I'd say more is, you know, there are different type of decisions that are involved in the National Hockey League, and And Jim Montgomery just spoke to how does he plan to lead? How does he make decisions? What is the process? And some are consultative, some are collaborative, and some are unilateral,
oh,
right?
God.
And
wait a minute. Word soup.
I think by and large, if you were to speak to the majority of management in the National Hockey League, there's a time when they have to make a decision that might not necessarily always be collaborative or consultative, but something that they have to make they feel is the best interest of the club. And it's our job to support them in that process.
Oh, my God.
I totally agree with him. It was well answered, but it's quite truthful. We've been doing that for the last 40 years or so, and it's worked pretty good.
What? And so just to be clear on that for both of you, if the recommendation from Donnie had been to keep Bruce, that's what would have happened?
Again, this is Don's decision, and it's Cam's responsibility to support Don. And I would say it works that way in arguably the other 31 markets of the National Hockey League. So if they want to make a change, we're here to support them and do so. Until further notice, that's the way this works.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Unilateral? Collective? What is he saying? Here's the translation of all of that.
Collaborative?
Cam Neely is our guy.
Yep.
Cam Neely has been good. We think the three cup runs have been spectacular, and therefore he's, bordering untouchable status.
Yep. Two of them were at a different GM, by the way, but whatever.
He is telling us he wants to keep Don Sweeney. He keeps Don Sweeney. Cam wants Don. Don didn't want the coach anymore. We let him fire the coach.
So they didn't give the directive then that a lot of people assume that you guys go fire the coach.
So what they're
right
saying
there, they're
is,
putting it on Sweeney.
But what they're saying is there's no check on Cam Neely.
Yeah.
Right.
That Cam decides Don Sweeney's the GM, and that's it.
Cam has the best job in the world.
We don't involve ourselves in that. That's Cam. Cam, they just did it. They gave you the flow chart, is what they described. We like Cam. Cam runs the team. Cam wanted to keep Don Sweeney. Don Sweeney wanted to fire the coach, so we support him because Cam supports him.
I totally agree with him.
That is mindless ownership. Mm. That's great. Imagine being able to own a professional sports franchise and have everything come back to, we like the guy who's in charge of it, so whatever he does, we're cool with it.
It's nice. Bum.
It's great for Cam.
Awesome. Great job security for Cam Neely.
Sweet deal.
Three cup runs in 10 years. Apparently, there's no analysis there about what are our chances of doing that again in the next 10 years. What are our chances of getting back three times in the next 15 or 20 years? And yikes, when you start saying how well your ownership of the Bruins has been for 40 years. You got one win in 40 years. Relax. Easy. All right, then. Well, that's the flow. Let's pick up more of this, though. In 90 seconds from this press conference, because I think there was something in there that speaks to the team building or the approach of the team and how some of that might be a little bit mindless. And we'll get to that coming up after these headlines in 90 seconds. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.